2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome into another edition of the Jazz Notes podcast. We haven't had one in a while, mainly because the Utah Jazz are not playing anymore. They're out of the playoffs. We had a podcast last week. Trevor and Austin did a great job for us doing a post-game wrap-up of the Jazz's Game 5 loss to the Houston Rockets. Jazz are now home. They've had locker clean out. We're now into the next week. It's been about a week since all of this happened. Jeremiah Jensen joining me, Cleon Wall, here on the Jazz Notes podcast. And today we're going to use an old radio talk show trope, or maybe I just, I don't know. It's just that it's like, what can we talk about, you know, post-Jazz leaving? I think everything's been talked about what are they going to work on in the offseason? What are they going to, what are the Jazz going to do in the offseason? All that stuff. So we're going to use an old radio talk show trope, and it's called giving people grades. We're going to be the higher education people here. Jeremiah, Dean of Students. I
am never been called that before.
The TA or something like that. And really, all I do is grade paper. So
someone's got to do it.
Anyway. So what we're going to do? We're going to hit the main Jazz players, kind of give them a letter grade, what we think, how we think they did this year. If we want to try and back it up, I wrote a whole bunch of stats down. Maybe that just helps me to come up with the grade that I have. Or however else we want to do this. I don't know how this is going to turn out. Jeremiah's got probably a great thing going here for him. So we're going to start out with Jeremiah. First guy we want to talk about, the man, the myth, the legend, or whatever we're going to call him. Let's go with Donovan Mitchell, number
okay.
one.
I'm going to go B.
Okay.
No, I might go higher, but
a little lower than I actually was going to give him.
Up until January, I would give him an incomplete.
Okay.
Because we weren't really sure what was going on with Donovan, and we learned later that he was still nursing that foot injury that happened in the offseason. It slowed him down. He didn't get to put in as much work. So it caused him to have a bit of a slow start. There was also the adjustment he had to make to teams keying on him defensively and, you know, having a better scouting report on him to start the season. But once January 1st came around, I was really impressed with the way he played. He played at a near all-NBA level. And from then on, you saw what you expected from Donovan Mitchell. I don't think he had the playoff series that he had hoped, but I thought that was part of the learning process as a young player he needs to go through to get better. And what I liked about his playoff experience is he did battle hard, he did fight. It wasn't an effort thing. He continued to try to do his best. He did have that great game four, that fourth quarter. So I'm going to give Donovan a B.
I'm not even a B plus, huh?
Not quite a plus.
Okay. Wow. I think I'm going to be the generous one here. I'm going to give him an A minus. I probably would have given him a C early on in the season, maybe C or C plus. But I just kind of looked at his stats. His field goal percentage was pretty much the same, and he didn't shoot great from three-point land. In fact, it was a little bit lower that he shot this year. But when you consider that both his field goals, two-point field goals, were up, his free throws were up, his assists were about the same, but he was averaging now around 24 points a game, I'm going to give him a lot of credit for that. He improved as the season went along, and he improved from last season. The thing that kind of was just static, the two things that were static were, as I said, field goal percentage, three-point field goal percentage, and also assists. And I'm not going to bag on him in the assist, but I guess I the reason why I want to give him an A-minus and not just a straight A is that I just was hoping and wishing, or whatever you want to say there, I just thought he could have shot just a little bit better during this regular season, and that's what's missing. And that's going to be the thing that kind of plagues him or dogs him through the rest of his career is how is he going to shoot? Is he going to be a volume shooter that shoots a lot and doesn't shoot for a great percentage, a la everyone that compares him to Dwayne Wade, or is he actually going to improve his shot? I'm not expecting him to be a 50% shooter, but it'd sure be nice if he'd be like 46 to 47% shooter. That'd be really nice.
You know, a lot of that, he was very blunt at the end of the season and after the Game 5 loss and saying he's got to get stronger. In order to succeed at the NBA level with the style of play and to be the number one guy, you see this with a lot of guys. You got to be able to absorb contact. You got to be able to get to the hoop. You got to get to the foul line. You know, James Harden, if you look at his stats, did not shoot the ball well in the Houston series, but he gets to the line a lot. And so while he didn't shoot the ball very well, he still ends up at the end of the game with 20 or 25 points every game because he's able to do that. And so that's another part of the game that Donovan can add. But, you know, you mentioned all those things and you felt it was good enough for A-. I agree with you, but I knocked him down to a B because of those things. But that's good because that just means he's got a lot of room for improvement. And then I would imagine if he's in the room with us right now and he hears me give him a B, he'd agree with me.
No, I think he would.
He feels like, you know, to be an A player, he's still got to do this, this, and this. And so there you go. I think that there's room for improvement. And while he did have a good season, I wouldn't say he had a great season. And in order to be great, he's got a lot of work to do.
I would say the other reason I would give him an A-, and this is the last thing we'll talk about Donovan before we move on to the next player, and it's not because I don't want to give you the last word. If you've got something else to say, Jeremiah.
I'm done with Donovan.
Okay. Last thing I would say is he really improved, as I noticed, through the season on finishing near the basket. Was he perfect? No. Mm-hmm. But, boy, did he have a lot more moves by the end of the season compared to the start of the season and compared to last season. So I what I'm trying to do is add upon what you said. I think if he can get a little bit stronger and he's also got those moves going for him, that's going to be impressive as his career goes along. Of course, I think slowly he'll get better as an outside shooter. We might not see him be I'm not going to say a great outside shooter, but a solid outside shooter until maybe year number four. So I think there might be some growing pains next year. Next, we're going to go with Rudy Gobert. I'll start first. I'm just going to go straight stats. No advanced stats. These are just straight stats. Points, he was up. Rebounds, he was up. Blocks, same. That's understandable when you're the best, one of the best shot blockers.
People are going to avoid driving at you at this point.
Yeah.
His numbers are on that.
Assists, up. field goal percentage, up. He played in 80 games this season compared to 56 last season. I just look at all of that and how much he does for this team. And if you can erase what happened in that one victory that the Jazz had in the playoffs, they finished with Derek Favors just because he was having a better game. I'm going to give I waffle back and forth between A- and B+, and the only reason I would give him like a B+ is just because it just feels like that playoff series kind of gives you that nagging feeling like, oh, you just want a little bit more. But if you can take that away and just look at the regular season, I'm not sure how much more Rudy Gobert could give for you or give to this team, I guess you could say.
I agree with you 100%, and because of everything you said, I'm giving him an A. I think he was the defensive player of the year last year for good reason in 56 games. He did the same thing this year, but he played 80 games. And the fact that he played 80 games this year, avoided injury, and was durable is a tribute to his conditioning, to being prepared for the season. And so when I'm giving out grades, I'm also considering preparation and, you know, what did you do to get better? And so I think he put in the preparation. I think he was ready to go this season. And the stats were up across the board. And, you know, you mentioned the Houston series. I think he got unfairly judged in that series. He was put on an island sometimes. He had to pick his poison between, you know, covering the lob or covering Harden because of the way the Jazz struggled defensively early on in that series. And as the series went on, the Jazz got better with that defense, and so did Rudy. So I'm going straight A for Rudy Gobert this year. He should have been an all-star this year. He was not. He should be all NBA.
Enough said. Let's move on to his front court mate. Let's go to Derek Favors. Played in 76 total games this year, but his minutes were way down because of how they staggered his minutes and how basically he finished the game many games on the bench because he was basically – he started the game, and then after that he was kind of like your backup center. He only averaged 23 minutes a game, but his field goal percentage was up. He was shooting close to 59% per game. Seven rebounds, same as last year. His points were a little bit down, but again, you can understand that. He's not actually, most of his stats were almost the same across the board, playing fewer minutes. The only ding that you would have against him is he talked about how he worked on his three-point shot in the offseason, and it didn't look like he worked on it. It didn't look like he worked on it at all. I mean, he only shot about 22% from threes, but that's not Derek's game, in my opinion. He really is valuable as a center. I'm just going to give him a solid B+. I think he was fantastic in some games this season. And to be honest with you, if Rudy Gobert was not here, I don't think many Jazz fans would have a problem having Derek Favors as your starting center right now.
Not at all. Derek would start at center for sure. And, you know, if they didn't have Rudy, they probably would have locked Derek up for a lot longer term of a contract than they did. And, of course, his offseason is up in the air. We don't know if he's going to be back with the Jazz or if he's going to be moving on. And it's up to the Jazz whether or not they're going to exercise the option on his contract. But as I look back on the season for Derek, I'm going to give him an A-.
Okay.
The fact that he is willing to sacrifice for the team, there's a lot to be said about that. And it's not easy for an NBA player, especially an NBA player of his talent, to do that. And he's done it without any bit of complaining or anything negative that would impact the team in a negative way. He's just been great about that. When he has had his number called, he was terrific. He had some monster games this year. He had some 20-10 games. There was a stretch later in the season where he was just phenomenal. He had some big games, and you mentioned Game 4 in the playoffs. He has really come to play in the playoffs. I thought if you look at him, he may have been their most consistent player in the postseason, I thought. I mean, he was really good in the series. So I'm going to go A-, Derek Favors. I would love to see him back. It's going to be tough if the Jazz are going to go out and land a free agent that's going to be a Tier 1 or Tier 2 free agent. They're probably going to have to renounce his rights. But if it works out that he's back, the Jazz will be better for it.
One thing, too, is that Derek actually wants to come back. He likes the organization. And this is a guy, again, you could say to him, hey, you know what? We're going to do a great deal for you. By the way, this is all just me speaking whatever, just pulling it out of the air. Hey, Derek, you know what? We know Atlanta's not good, but it's your hometown, or at least your home state. We're going to trade you there. You're going to go play for the Hawks, and you're going to start. And you're probably going to play 30 minutes a game. What do you think about that? Now, maybe he goes for that. But at least right now, publicly, he says, I'm really happy with where I am. And maybe he does get traded. Maybe he does get released. Whatever the case may be, Derek wants to be around. He's let it known to everyone out there. Maybe it's a PR ploy, but I don't think so. He said this for years on end, that he likes this organization. And this is with him losing more and more minutes. But man, was he valuable this season. I mean, there's a reason why in all the trade talks, the Jazz did not want to trade him away. It'd be nice to have a perimeter scorer, but his minutes with the second team and when Rudy was struggling were too valuable for this team to give up. And that's why I keep thinking, I agree with you, unless something wacky happens, I think he's back with the team next season.
I do too, unless there's a big, big money free agent available that they really want to get. And I got the feeling from Dennis Lindsay, as the Jazz had their end-of-season media, he said that Derek's part of the solution, not part of the problem. And he was very, very high on Derek as a bit different tone than with Ricky, which we will get to, I'm sure, in a moment. But I think if the Jazz had their way, they'd have him back. But obviously the contracts and his situation, where what he wants, is going to come into play as well. So that's going to be an interesting storyline to watch. But I agree with you. If the Jazz are able to have him back, he's going to be a great asset to the team. And the fans are going to be happy. And Jazz will be happy. And Derek will be happy.
Let's talk about that guy that you just mentioned, which a lot of fans like, and that's Ricky Rubio. A lot of fans like him for what he does for the team and also what he does off the court and kind of what he represents. If you look at how his stats played out this year, 12.7 points, slightly down, not really that big of a deal. Assists were actually up. They were 5.3 last year, 6.1 this year. Field goal percentage, though, was down. He was down 40% was his field goal percentage, but we kind of all know that. Three-point field goal percentage, that really dropped from 35 to 31. I initially put B-, mainly because sometimes this team looked lost without him. He really knows how to generate offense for the other guys on the floor, and he is very unselfish. And sometimes when he needs to score, it's great. I ding him because he's just not a good shooter. And that's but that's him. I mean, you really can't say, I wanted to say B minus. I'm actually going to change my grade to C plus. I think we kind of saw what we got this season. We kind of knew what we were going to get. It was actually a little bit worse, a tiny bit worse, and he was injured a lot this season too. So for Ricky Rubio, I like him a lot. I'm on the Ricky Rubio bandwagon. I want him to go to a team where he succeeds with a lot of shooters around him. But right now, I'm going to give him for this season about a C+.
Ricky's a great leader for this team. He's great in the locker room. He's great in the community. What he's doing at the Huntsman Cancer Institute is phenomenal. He's going to help save a lot of lives and change a lot of lives, which is great. On the court, if you're looking at the roster, I think everybody would say they need to improve a point guard, and that tells you something. That they're not quite getting enough out of that position that they need in order to go to the next level. I think Ricky Rubio's great. I just don't know that he's the guy to take them to that next level, and they're going to have to go out and find somebody at that position or in the backcourt who can, whatever combination they can come up with. They need more scoring. They need somebody that can knock down threes, and the truth is Ricky's not that guy. I mean, 10 years ago in the NBA, back when you relied on point guards to run pick and roll, kind of the John Stockton style of point guard, or some would say a true point guard, right? yeah. A pure point guard. Ricky Rubio would have been terrific. Now in the era of positionless basketball, his inability to be a consistent perimeter threat is a reason why he may never be in that elite category of point guards anymore because of the way that the league has gone. So the Jazz have to look at improving that position, and that tells you a little something, I think. So I'll give Ricky a B-. Just a little bit ahead of what you did, but my B minus is more about his leadership, the person he was, the things he did off the floor, just strictly the player and what he contributed to the team. His weakness being perimeter shooting, inconsistent in a lot of ways. Then I would probably just give him a straight C, but those other things matter. They do.
Yeah,
so
no.
I'll give him a B minus.
It's interesting you brought that up about the pure point guard and about. I was thinking about non-shooting point guards or guys that don't consistently make it from
well,
the
look
outside.
Jason Kidd's a Hall of Famer. The list
exactly.
goes on and on.
It's interesting. I thought, who are the last two non-shooting point guards who won titles? Jason Kidd was the only one that I could come up with most recent. That was 2011 with the Mavericks.
Yeah.
And then I thought back to a few years earlier when Rajon Rondo won one with the Celtics back in 2008. But those guys had stars around them that could make it from the outside. In fact, Dallas... When you have Dirk, of course, you got a guy who can make shots, but they also had a lot of other guys that could make shots too. And when you think about the Celtics, Rondo was like the fourth wheel on that team. He couldn't shoot, but you have Paul Pierce, who, you know, he was clutch in a lot of games. You have Ray Allen, enough said there. I mean, he was a great three-point shooter. And then you have KG and Kevin Garnett, say what you want about him, he was a good shooter. He didn't shoot a lot. He probably could have shot a lot more.
He was a scorer. He could score.
Yeah. I think he probably could have even shot a lot more, but I think he deferred a lot. When you've got something like that, you can have a guy like a Ricky Rubio on your team, and you're going to be just fine. The Jazz don't have that right now.
The game has changed. The game was different 10 years ago. I'll throw Derek Fisher into that mix that you just threw out there. With the Lakers, with Kobe in all those years. In San Antonio, Tony Parker wasn't like a guy that shot a high percentage from three, but he picked his spots and and you've seen now as the years went on, Tony Parker's game, I mean, it kind of – now it's about the point guards like Steph Curry and Kyle Lowry and these guys that can knock down open threes and different things that they do. You look at James Harden, obviously. I mean, that's the biggest one. Around the league, you go round and round, and these are the kind of guys on the elite teams in the league, and that's how they play ball. Jamal Murray is the latest one where he's a three-point threat, so – the game's just changed. It's less about Ricky, more about how the game has changed. But it's adapt or die, and I think Ricky's going to have to figure out a way to adapt to that and improve those skills. I think he's going to be a good fit somewhere else. It probably just won't be with the Jazz next year.
Next up is Joe Ingles. I'll let you start out first.
Joe's three-point percentages went down. I know he was struggling a lot, especially personally, with some of the things he was going through with his son and his diagnosis with autism. And as any parent can relate, that's going to impact your life in every facet of it, including your professional life. So I really sympathize with Joe and, you know, for him and his wife to go through that this year. And just, you know, focusing on his family was number one. So it feels kind of odd criticizing some of his game and I guess the three-point shooting percentage coming down. And you saw in the playoffs he did not play well. That was a little concerning, and he's 30. He's on the other side of 30 now, So you start to wonder about his game. I'm going to go B- as well for Joe Ingles. He certainly had a lot of great moments this year, though. Headband Joe, we all remember that.
Yeah.
He's such a fiery guy out on the court. He really is. He's a guy that every team needs. He's the kind of guy that if you play against him, you can't stand him. But if he plays for you, you're loyal to him and you love him. And I think Jazz fans really do. And Joe's become a very important part of this franchise and this community. But on the court, I think they need more from him. And it's going to be interesting to see what Joe does next year now that he's kind of figured some things out with his son and they're handling that well. What does he do during the offseason to try to take his game to another level? Because he says there's another level in his game. And how does he keep going at that age and continue to be a three-point threat and continue to give the things to this Jazz team that he has been able to give them that allowed him to get the contract that he did?
I'm not sure I can add much more. I'm going to give him a B. The reason why I'm giving him a B is because of the elongated time in which Ricky was out and all the other point guards were out. A lot was put on Joe's plate to run the offense. And I thought he did an admirable job, and he's actually he's not going to break you down, but he is a really smart dude.
Oh, yeah.
And he seemed to develop a nice rapport with the big men who rolled to the basket.
Him and Favors were a deadly combo.
Yeah. So I'm going to give him a B, and the reason why I dock him down to a B, I was going to say B-, but I'm going to give him a solid B because of what he did this year when he had to kind of fill in as the de facto point guard. But it's definitely more B than A because of how he shot this year. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes going forward. All right, now we're down to the bench players. We'll go a little quicker with some of the next three, and then we'll go even quicker with the rest of them.
Okay.
Jay Crowder, I'll say really quickly, I'll say B-, maybe a C or a C+, somewhere right around there. If you look at his stats, like his career stats, they're all pretty much the same except for one year in which he shot really well for the Boston Celtics. But, I mean, he's pretty much a 40% three-point shooter. He doesn't – this year was actually one of his better rebounding years. He almost had 5 rebounds a game. He shot about 12 points a game. I wanted him to start. He did start. But the one thing about Jay is he's never afraid to shoot the ball, and that sometimes is a detriment. But also – you like having him on your team because he's a team guy. So I'll go B- with Jay. I don't know what happens to him in the offseason because he has a very favorable contract. He likes playing for the Utah Jazz. I think he sticks around. I know we're going to talk more about stay and go in future episodes of Jazz Notes, but I think he's valuable to have around on this team. It's just sure would be nice if he could just be a tiny bit more consistent with his shot, but I'm not sure we're ever going to get that, Jeremiah.
No, I agree with you. At this point in his career, he is who he is, and his numbers are what they are. And I think, and Jay, just the way he is right now, is an important part of the Jazz. I'm going to give him a B. I would like to see a little bit better shooting from him, more consistent shooting, but that fire and that spirit he brings to the court every night is an important part and plays an important role on this team. They need that from Jay. They need somebody to provide it, and he does. So that's why I give him a B. I like you, though. I would like to see a little bit more production from him and perhaps more consistent.
Yeah.
We're tough graders here.
No,
we're tough graders.
I would probably, yeah. I just wish, at times he would kind of realize at times early in the game, I'm probably not going to shoot my way out of this thing.
His shot selection isn't the best on the team.
Yeah.
That's something he can work on for sure.
Yeah. All right. Next, I'll have you talk about Kyle Korver next.
Kyle Korver, I would give him a B. It's tough to come in and have an impact on this team when you come in and you don't have a camp with the team. But he's a vet. We all know who Kyle Korver is. We know what he's about. 38 years old, he came in. I thought he had some great games. He made the team better. And I think he was a contributor to the fact that they won 2 more games this year. He provided an outside threat. He helped spread the floor. It was disappointing that he got the bone bruise in his knee and he wasn't able to be a factor in the playoffs. I think they really missed what he could have provided them. But Kyle gave you what you expected Kyle to give. And so that's my grade, B.
Yeah, you're changing. I was going to say C, but now I'm feeling a little bad.
he gave you exactly
you're right.
What did we want from Kyle when the trade happened? He gave you exactly what he wanted. Now, did he exceed any expectations? No. Did missing him in the playoffs hurt? Absolutely. So yeah. I can't give him an A or an A-. So B sounds about right.
Okay. I was going to say C just because it felt like, and but this has to deal with his injury, and I'm going to say his age too. Mm-hmm. When you got to the playoffs, he was a non-factor. And part of that was he couldn't stay on the floor because of injury, but also the Rockets were such a tough matchup. It was just hard mm-hmm. putting him on the floor against anyone, whether yeah. it's defending or trying to get open. And so I'm still going to stick with my C grade. I guess I'm a pretty harsh grader here. But you're right. He did give what you expected from him this season. And there you go. Okay, let's move on to Royce O'Neal. I'll start out with Royce O'Neal. This guy, I'm just going to say A. And the reason why... No, he didn't put up gaudy numbers, but he improved in every single category that you would want from this guy. And meaning shots, I think there was one category where he pretty much was, he stayed the same. But everything else, his shooting was up, his field goal percentage, his field goal percentage was up, both 3 and 2-point field goal percentage. He just really improved this season, and he's just a nice guy to have on your team. So I'm going to give him a solid A. Was he spectacular? No, but he was kind of like what you said with Kyle. He actually, except for he actually did exceed what we kind of expected from him this season.
So I don't disagree with you at all. If before the season I told you that Royce O'Neal would be a leading scorer in a playoff game for the Jazz this year, would you believe me? It happened.
Yeah.
He was the leading scorer in Game 5 in Houston. He showed flashes of a lot of great things. You're seeing the growth and development of him. Somebody who was undrafted, someone who had to come in and fight and claw and scratch for a roster spot, is now solidly in the rotation and looks like a key piece for the future for the Jazz moving forward. And obviously his contract is very friendly cap-wise, which that makes it even better when you consider how much he makes, the kind of effort he's put in, how hard he's worked, and the results that have come forth. That's what you grade on, right? So you have to give him an A. So absolutely, Royce O'Neal deserves an A this year for his growth and his development.
All right, the rest of the team, Tony Bradley, I'm going to say incomplete. Anything you want to say about Tony Bradley?
Yeah, he didn't even show up for class this year, so yeah. I can't give him a grade.
Yeah, exactly. Grayson Allen, I'm going to say Grayson's incomplete too. Even though we saw some good things near the end of the season, he really just did not get a lot of playing time until the end of the season and bounced back and forth between the Jazz and the Stars. I personally am going to give him an incomplete grade just because I know we saw some good things at the end, but was it enough? I'm going to say not yet. So.
It was enough for me to give him a B.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Dante, definitely incomplete.
Incomplete season. It's just frustrating that he couldn't finish the year. He couldn't give. I mean, he would have been a huge help in the Rockets series. Would have been a massive difference.
Howell Neto, what would you give him?
C. Can't stay healthy.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I'm going to say B minus. He's effective when he's on the court, but he's effective when he's on the court.
Yeah.
Now,
period. Sure.
Now, put a period in that sentence. Yeah. He's a third string point guard, mm-hmm. and he does good things when he plays against backups, and he does some good things when he plays against certain starters too, but he's a third string point guard, and you're right, he can't stay healthy. Let's see, going along here, George Niang, I'm going to say his season started out dicey, but the end of the season, I'll give him a B or a B plus because of how he was able to get himself in the rotation at the end of the season. And maybe that was a little bit because of Kyle and how he was not healthy. But I also think that George played well. He deserved to be in the rotation near the end, in that playoff game, I should say.
I'm going to give him an A minus. This is a G League player who now may be a member of the Jazz rotation next season. That's awesome.
Tapo Cephalosha, I'm going to say... I said C minus. I might even go D.
Whoa.
He was injured a lot this season too. I mean, he had some injuries. He had a suspension, but when he played, it just didn't feel like there were enough games where I saw he made a difference. And maybe that's why I'm grading so low.
C. I think.
Okay.
I think they hoped for more.
And then finally, Epe Udo. I'll say B, just solid B. And the only reason I'm going to go solid B is, again, it's kind of like that Kyle Korver thing. He did what we expected him to do. He didn't exceed. He didn't go below. He was just kind of right there in the middle. When he played, he was solid.
He filled his role. When he was called upon, he was ready to play. And that's all you can ask for.
Management, what would you give a grade to management?
Management this year. They pulled off the Kyle Korver trade, which I liked. They continued to develop and find guys like George Niang and Royce O'Neal. Niang was great this year, I thought, and showed flashes. So I'm going to give management a B. I would have given them an A, but they didn't pull off the Conley trade at the deadline, which I think would have been a huge thing for the Utah Jazz franchise.
And, you know, they made that decision, but it was a decision that would have been a difference maker, so I can't give them an A.
Overall, the overall team, maybe coaching and everything that you saw from this team, I'd say B or B plus. I think they kind of hit right where I thought they would be this season. You could say it's in certain aspects they maybe exceeded, and yeah, they got a bum playoff matchup, but unfortunately they got what they got and they didn't win. And it didn't really hurt my feelings that they lost in the first round. I mean, I think we kind of know what their ceiling is anyway. It would be nice to see them get into the second round. It would be nice to see them beat a good team like the Rockets.
Yeah.
But I think I kind of got what I expected from this season. So I'm going to say just solid B. That's what I'll give them.
So they were an A team last year. They exceeded expectations. They went on a phenomenal run. Donovan Mitchell was awesome. We didn't see last year coming. And they did a great job overcoming the loss of Gordon Hayward and really captured the attention of the fan base and the imagination. I mean, everything. It was a fun year. It was an incredible run. This year felt different. It just felt like another year. And I will give them a B because they won 50 games, because they did make the playoffs in the tough West, because they did have some moments, but it just wasn't quite the same as last year, so it would be impossible for me to give them another A grade. I'm going to go B with a first-round loss in the playoffs. They did not exceed expectations, but they did not perform below expectations, which I guess you would say is average. But when you make the playoffs as a 5 seed, you win 50 games, you're not an average team. They're above average, but not quite and a contender, so I'm going to give them a B.
All right. That's going to do it for the Jazz Notes podcast. Yes, at times we were tough graders.
Hey,
I thought I was pretty generous at some points, but
that's how we have high expectations here at the Utah Jazz, so we're going to judge harshly.
All right, that's going to do it for the Jazz Notes podcast. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening, downloading, subscribing. You can find us on KSLSports.com. That's who we are powered by. Also, the KSL News Radio app and also Apple Podcasts, other places where podcasts are found. That's going to do it. We'll talk to you soon.